Okay, today's daf is Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph. As we're drawing toward the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, we began a machlokas yesterday, a discussion yesterday, what exactly happened when the Edom showed up very late one year, what it means that Niskalkalu Aleviyim Bashir. So we had a machlokas in the Gemara, whether it meant that they sang a Shira Shel Chol, or it meant that they didn't sing any Shira at all. And we already brought one Raya to try to prove one way or the other in the machlokas. Today we're going to start by bringing a second Raya, and then on Amar Aleph, on Lamed Aleph, Amar Aleph, we're going to deal with the different Shiros that they sang each and every day, and why each Shira was chosen for that particular day. And then the Gemara is going to talk about the Shiras Musaf and the Shira that they sang at Mincha on Shabbos. And then we're going to, once we're talking about Yavne and what the Beis Din did in Yavne, the Gemara is going to go through the 10 different stages of the Golus HaShechina as the Shechina slowly left the Beis HaMikdash, as well as the 10 different stages of the Golus of the Sanhedrin, the different places that the Sanhedrin went. And I'm Beis, we're going to have a mission that's going to talk about whether the Edom are responsible to find the Rosh Beis Din, or is it enough to just go to the Makom Avad? And we're going to discuss that maybe it's different with Edus HaChodesh than it may be with other Eduyos. And then the Gemara is going to go through the 9 different Takanos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We've gone through several of them, but we're going to complete the list of 9 total Takanos that were made by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So we are holding on Daf Lamed and Beis about 10-12 lines before the end of the page. Masiv Rav Acha Bar Huna. So again, this is going back on the machlokas about what it means that Niskalkalu Aleviyim Bashir. Does it mean that they didn't sing a Shira at all? Or does it mean that they sang a Shira Shel Chol when in fact it turned out to be Rosh Hashanah? So Frakta Gemara Masiv Rav Acha Bar Huna. Tamish Al Rosh Hashanah Shachris Karav Kil Chasa. The Karvan Tamid of Rosh Hashanah at Shachris with the Tamish Al Shachar, it's Karav Kil Chasa. It's brought in the normal way, and they sing a regular Shir Shel Chol like they would on any other day. But Musaf Ma'u Omer, what about at Musaf? So at Musaf they would say Harnina Lelukim Uzeinu Hari Lelukei Yaakov. But Mincha Ma'u Omer, what would they sing by Mincha? Kol Hashem Yachol Midbar. Ubizman Shechal Rosh Hashanah Lios B'Chamishi B'Shabbes. But when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Thursday, Shashira Shelo Harnina Lelukim Uzeinu, where the normal weekday Shir of a Thursday is Harnina Lelukim Uzeinu. So now you don't want to say it twice. That's the shira we say at Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. So what would they do? Lo haya omer b'shachris harninu m'nei shechozer b'kofel asaperek. So they wouldn't say harninu at shachris because they don't want to say it twice. They don't want to be kofel the same perek. They don't want to say the same thing twice. Elamahu omer, what would they say? Hasirosi misevel shichmo v'imbo edim achar tamish al shachar. And if edim showed up after the carbon tamish al shachar was already brought, Omer Haninu Afal Bishachozer B'Kofel Asaperek. They would say Haninu, even though that would mean that they're saying the same thing twice, because Edom were not yet there by the time they did the Tamashal Shachar, so they went with the normal weekday Shira. The normal weekday Shira on Thursday is Haninu, and then Edom come, and the proper Shira for Musaf is Vayter Haninu, so they would end up saying it twice. So it says, well, wait a second, we had a machlokas whether when before the Edom came, and they didn't yet know if today is Rosh Hashanah or not, what would they do? Would they do the regular Shira Shel Chol, or would they do nothing at all? So, I amrit bishlam kol hecha de mistapka amrinan Shira de Chol, hainu de kamar omer v'koflo. If you're going to say that whenever they didn't yet know what the story was, they would say a Shira Shel Chol, so I understand why it ends up that they're saying the same thing twice when the Edom show up after the Tamash Shel Shachar. They said Arninu because that's the regular Shira Shel Chol at Shachris, and then they say it again when they find out that it's Rosh Hashanah, and they say it at Musaf. Eli Yamrit Omer Klal, my Omer of a Kofla. But if you hold it, they don't say anything until they know for sure what day it is. So what do you mean Omer of a Kofla, that they're saying it twice? Why are they saying it twice? Should have only been saying it once. Answer Gemara, Shaini Hasam, Dishira Diyamehu. When you're not sure whether, like by Mincha, whether today is Kodesh or not, so then you're not going to say the Shira Shel Chol. And the Shira Shel Chol doesn't make sense to say the Shira Shel Kodesh if it's really a day of Kodesh. Doesn't make sense to say the Shira Shel Chol. Over here, as Rashi explains on the third line, Vahacha Hainu Taima Damar Shira Dechol B'chamishi B'Shabbos. The reason they said the Shira Shel Chol on Thursday, when it might have been Rosh Hashanah, is because the Shira Diomehi Shira Roy Leomer Ayomu. That was the Shira that's appropriate to say that day, no matter what. Vafilu B'Rosh Hashanah Nemer Shira Sachol B'Chol Tmidei Hashachar. Even on Rosh Hashanah, they would say the Shira Shel Chol with the Tmidei Hashachar. It's just that when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Thursday, they would switch it up for a different Shira. But for sure, Aninu has to be said that day anyway. So if it's only out of a concern that they would be kofel, well, then they would certainly stick with that Shira in the morning. It's not like they're running the risk of saying the wrong thing. It's not the wrong thing, it's just something that they would rather not have to repeat. But if the Edom show up a little bit later, they will repeat it. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Akiva. So now we have a brisa that's going to list off the different shiros of each and every day. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Barishon Mayu Omrim. What do we say on Yom Rishon? Lashem Aretzum Loa. That doesn't count as a daf yomi coincidence because we're going to go through all the days of the week. So yes, we just did finish saying the Yom, but Lashem Aretzum Loa, that's for Yom Rishon. Why? Because Alshem Shekana Vehikla Vehishl Baalamo. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu took ownership, so to speak, of the world. Basheni Mayu Omrim. What do they say on Monday? Gadol Hashem Lul Ma'od Al Shem Shechilik Ma'asav Malach Alein. That Kodesh Baruch Hu divided up his works and he ruled over them. So that's the Shir of Yom Sheni. The Rav Zilberstein raises the question that if a person has the option of going to visit the Kotel on a Monday or a Tuesday, which day should he pick? So he says it's first of all, Zuzi Makdim LeMitzvah is always better to go the earlier day if you have two choices. But he says over here there's another reason to Dafka say to go on Monday. Because of our Gemara, that they would say the Shira of Gadol Hashem Ulul Ma'od, because he was Chilik Ma'asav Malach Aleim. Rabbeinu Chananel says, what does that mean, Chilik Ma'asav Malach Aleim? Says Rabbeinu Chananel, Al Shem Shechilik Ma'asav, Shenemar V'yimavdil Bein Mayim Tachtonim L'Mayim Elyonim, Kach Chilik HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bachar B'Yerushalayim V'nikreis Ir Elokeinu V'shchinas Haba. That when we say Chilik Ma'asav, we mean to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made distinctions in the Bria. So yes, he made a distinction between the Mayim HaTachton and Mayim Elyonim, but that's just the first of many that he was going to make. And ultimately, he distinguished Kedushas HaMakom, that Yerushalayim has a Kedushas HaMakom beyond the Kedusha of the rest of the world. So if there's a remez in the Shir Shel Yom of the Kedushas Yerushalayim, so probably it's most appropriate to say that Shira at the Kotel. So if a person can go to the Kotel on a Monday, better than going on a Tuesday, because the Shira that you're going to say that day is actually appropriate for the Makom. Vashlishi Yom. On Tuesday, they would say, "Elokim nitzav badas kel al shem shagila aretz b'chachmaso vehechin tevela adaso." That Kadosh Baruch Hu was megala the land in his great wisdom and prepared it for being populated. Berviu hayom. On Wednesday, they would say, "Kel nukamos Hashem al shem shabara chamu levana va'asli parah me'avdehen," because Kadosh Baruch Hu created the sun and the moon and will ultimately pay back and seek vengeance from those who worship the sun and the moon. That because he created ofos v'dagim to praise him with his name, meaning that when one sees the ofos v'dagim, when one sees the gadlus habria, you see the different creatures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, it gives us a greater appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the question that the Achronim discuss. Is it a milo or is it incorrect, the right thing to do, to go visit a zoo? Is visiting a zoo any sort of mitzvah? Is there any sort of inyan in visiting a zoo? Rav Vadia has a tshuva about this in Yechavadas, that to go see the Pilei Abriya. Rav Zilberstein points out, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Tes tells us that a person should always be mishtadel loritz likros malchei Yisrael v'lo likros malchei Yisrael b'lvad elfi likros malchei umos ha'olam. A person should always go out of his way to try to see a king, not just a Jewish king, even a non-Jewish king. That one day a person will come to appreciate the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the kavod that he shows his people when we see an actual Malchus Yisrael. So we see that there's an inyan to go and see things, to witness things, to experience things that will help us, that will help bring us to a hakara of the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in there is a tshuva in Arugas HaBosem where he was asked whether you're allowed to go to the circus where you could see all sorts of chayos, abrios, mashunos, and that way you'll be able to make a bracha, baruch mashunos. Shana Abrios. So is it Kedai to go there? So he says, no, it's Asr to go there. You're not allowed to go to the Stadon, you're not allowed to go to the theaters and the circuses, etc. But the other Achronim point out that probably what he meant is that if it's a place of Moshev Leitzim or something like that, you shouldn't go. But if it's not a Moshev Leitzim, it's just a place where you're going to see the Gadlus Habriya, so then you should certainly go. And there is much precedent for that amongst the Gedolei Hadoros. In the Leket Yosher, he says Shumas Hadeshen had never seen a lion, and one day there was a circus or something, a zoo, the traveling zoo that came through town, and it happened to have been Shabbos, and on Shabbos he went out of his way to go see lions because he had never seen it before, and he wanted to appreciate the Gadlus Habori. In the Chida, he writes that that he visited the zoo in London, and he saw, and he starts talking about the different chayos that he saw, and he saw a bird that was 100 years old or something, and he was just amazed at all the different things that he saw. So you have in Orchos Rabbeinu, it says the stipler used to take his children to the zoo to see the monkeys and make a bracha mishana abrios, that he definitely got a geshmak out of going to see the monkeys. Okay, so there's definitely a mile in going to appreciate the godless habriya. Says Gemara, "Vayt b'shishi ayom." What would they say on Friday? Hashem Melech Yisloveish al Shem Shagamr Melachto u'Melech Alein. The Rosh Baruch Hu finished everything and now ruled over everything. B'shvii ayom, Rimin on Shabbos, we say Mizmor Shil Yom Hashabbos liYom Shekulo Shabbos. It's Mizmor Shil Yom Hashabbos for the day that is Kulo Shabbos. Now the Gra in Maseches Tamid quotes from the Zohar that the 6 days correspond to the 6,000 years of creation of the world. The Gemara is about to get into how the world exists for 6,000 years, and the Shira of each day not only relates to that day of creation, but it relates to that period in history of the world. He says in Yom Rishon, it's the Elef HaRishon, where the Aretz was Bimloa, the earth was perfect, it was before the Mabul, so everything was still operating at its highest capacity. So that's why on the first day we say we on the Shir of Yom Rishon is La Shem Aretz Bimloa, right? That's the earth functioning at its highest capacity. On the second day, on Monday, it's Gadol Hashem Bi'er Elkeinu, because in the second day, Hara Maria was chosen. The 2,000 years, Hara Maria was chosen. In the third day, it's Elkim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel, because it was in the 3,000 years that the Torah was given. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashris Shechina on us. On the fourth day, it's Kel Nekamos, because in the Elef Haravi'i, the Umos Holim destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ultimately going to take Nekama against them. On the fifth day, it's Harninu, because the entire Elef HaKamishi, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and there's no all we have is Rina Bipeh. We don't have the Klei Shir anymore to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. And on Shishi, it's Hashem Melech, because in the Elef HaShishi, Hashem is going to be a Melech on us again, Vaisal Hashem Amlucha. And on Shabbos, Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos, Mizmor Shil Os Lavo, because Mizmor Shir is a double expression. A Mizmor and a Shir both mean a song. So Mizmor Shir means it's going on the Zman of La'as Lavo, where La'as Lavo, as the Gemara is about to say, they're going to be Shnei Yamim. It's going to be a double day of joy. So that's why it's the double expression of Mizmor and Shir. That's how the Gra touches up the whole sugya. Amar Rabbi Nechemia. So Rabbi Nechemia points out as follows. V'chi mar ra'a Rabbi Akiva, the Girsa, the Bach changes it to, l'chalik bin ha-prakim alalu. Why does Rabbi Akiva distinguish between these prakim? Meaning, why is it that the first six are all about historical things that did happen, and the seventh one is al-shem la'asul Love. The seventh one is about something that will happen. Why would six of them be about the past and one of them be about the future? The first six he's going to say the same, so we're not going to say it all over. So he says, I agree about the first six, the way Rabbi Akiva explained the first 6 days of Shira, but Bashvi'i, it's not Al Shem La'asul Lava, rather, it's Al Shem Shashavas. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu is Shavas, it was Kodesh Baruch Hu rested from Malacha on the Yom HaShvi'i, and that's the Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos that we sing on Shvi'i. V'kamithlgi b'derav Katina, and this machlokas, about what the Shira of Shvi is about is actually machlokas whether we hold like Rav Katina. Dama Rav Katina, because Rav Katina said, Shisa al pishnei hava alma, that the world exists for 6,000 years, v'chad charuv, and then there's going to be 1,000 years that it's going to be destroyed. Shnemar of Niskav Hashem levado bayomahu. Abaye yomar trei charuv, that it's going to have 2,000 years of destruction. Shnemar yichayenu miyomayim. So Rashi explains that why is it commitful to be the Rav Katina? Rabbi Nechemiah doesn't hold of Rav Katina, he holds like Abaye, and therefore you can't say that it's a Yom Shekulo Shabbos, that it's referring to the Asa Lava Yom Shekulo Shabbos, because there is no single Yom Shekulo Shabbos. It's 2 days Shekulo Shabbos. And that's why it's not referring to Asa Lava according to Abaye, because it wouldn't make sense to have a Mizmar Shir Liyom in the singular HaShabbos. So it must be, that's why Abaye says must be going retrospectively, going back to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Shoves in the time of the Bria. What does it mean? It's going to be charuv. So bipshuto means the world is going to be charuv legamri, and that's what the Ravid seems to say in Hilchos Shuvah Perches Halachaches, that the world is going to be completely gone at that point in time. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim says it can't be that it's going to be nechrav legamri, that there's not going to be any metzius of world at all, because it's, the Gemara says that it's going to last for a period of time, for 1,000 years, for 2,000 years, that's going to happen. If the world is destroyed, then there's no such thing as time. I mean, without a sun, without then time, the whole concept of time doesn't make sense. So it doesn't mean charuv legamri. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be a metzius at all. It means that in some way things are going to stop from the way they are right now, whatever that might mean. Not for us to really figure out or think about. So ask the Gemara, what would they say by Musaf on Shabbos? Samrav Anabarava Amrav Haziv Lach. They would divide up Parshas Ha'azinu into the Shiras Ha'azinu into 6 parts, and the Rashi Tevis of the 6 parts are Haziv Lach, and they would rotate saying each of those 6 parts on a Musaf of each Shabbos. As Rashi points out, Haziv Lach, Parsha Shiras Hazinu, Cholkmos al Shisha Prakim. They were divided into 6 chapters, 6 parts. Harishon Hazinu, that's the Hay. Hasheni Zchor Yimos Olam, that's the Zayin. Hashlishi Yirkaveh Ol B'masay Aretz, that's the Yud. Harivii Vayar Hashem Vayinatz, that's the Vav. Adkan Shisha Psukim Leperek. So up until that point, it's 6 psukim for each section. Umikan Ve'elach, Shmona Psukim Leperek. But the last couple are 8 psukim. That's why it's the mnemonic breaks it up into Haziv, first 4 letters, and Lach, then 2 letters, because the first 4 have something in common with each other. They're all 6 psukim, and Lach, the Lamin and the Chaf are 8 psukim each. So you have Shmona psukim leperak hachamishi lulekas oyev agur ashishi kiyadin Hashem amo. So that's the breakup of Haziv Lach. V'amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav kederech shecholkim kan kacholkim bebeis haknesses. The same way we split up those 6 sections of Shiras HaZinu when we sing the Shira of Musaf on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the way you split it up when you lay it in Shul as well. The Magen Avraham writes in Siman Tav Chav Ches Sivkat and Zayin that even if there are Chiyuvim in Shul that want to get an Aliyah, or you have a Simcha in Shul and they want to make Hosafos, you cannot. You're not allowed to divide up this Parsha in any other way aside for Haziv Lach. That's the only way to divide up the Parsha. The Poskim write though that once the Shira is over, once you get past those 40 psukim of the Shira, then it's fair game. Then the last, whatever, 14 psukim after the Shira Sazinu, so then you could divide up the end of the Parsha however a person wants. That would not be a problem. The question, Tori Evan raises a question over here, how are they allowed to divide up Shira Sazinu into 6 parts this way? The klal is that kol Parsha de lo paski Moshe, anan lo paskinan. So if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't divide it up with a pay or a samach right at the space in the Sefer Torah, so we're not allowed to divide it up either. So why are we allowed to divide up the Shiras HaZinu in this way? This is not, each section is not necessarily divided up in the Sefer Torah. It's not at all divided up in the Sefer Torah this way. That's why the Gemaras and Brachas talk about this, about Kol Pasuk Lo Paskei Moshe, Kol Parsha Lo Paskei Moshe, that we're not supposed to divide up. So the Turi Evan says, yeah, there's a difference between Kol Parsha Lo Paskei Moshe and Kol Pasuk Lo Paskei Moshe. When it comes to pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't divide, so we're not allowed to divide it at all. When it comes to a parsha, as long as we're on some sort of rotation whereby we plan on finishing that parsha, you're allowed to divide the parsha. It's only that you're not allowed to break it up and just say a part of a parsha without ever planning on finishing it as part of the process. But if we have a 6-week progression where throughout these 6 weeks we will finish the entire parsha, so then you're allowed to divide it up into pieces, provided that you're going to then ultimately finish it. It's only if there's no plan on finishing, you're just going to read a section of the parsha and leave it be, that's the kol parsha lo paski Moshe, anan lo paskina. And that's what we are not permitted to do. B'mincha de Shabbat amayu, amrim back in the Gemara, so what would they say on mincha of Shabbos? Amr Rabbi Yochanan az yashir, umicha mocha va'az yashir. They'd go on a 3-week rotation, not a 6-week rotation like they would for Musaf, on a 3-week rotation of az yashir, then micha mocha, and then the other az yashir. The first az yashir is the Shira Sayyam, and then the second az yashir is az, Rashi points out, is az yashir Yisrael, da'ali be'er, ba'midbar perachaf aleph. So that's how they would divide it up. Yibayilhu, hani kulu b'chad Shabbat amalu, adum l'kol Shabbat v'Shabbat amurchad. Now when we say they divide it up into the 3 and into the 6, does that mean that they would do one each for 6 consecutive Shabbosos with the Musaf and one each for 3 consecutive Shabbosos with the Mincha? Or would they say the whole thing, just dividing it up into 6 sections each and every Shabbos? So says Gemara Tashma, D'tanya, Amar Rav Yossi, Ad Sharishona, Amar Asachas, Shnia Chazer Shtayim. By the time they got through Hazinu once, they would get through, meaning in the amount of weeks on the calendar that it took to get through Hazinu once, they would get through the rotation of Az Yashir, Micha Mocha Az Yashir, twice. So clearly, Shema Minah Kol Shabbat of Shabbat Amrichad, Shema Minah. You see very clearly that we're working with the assumption that each week they rotated, they did one parsha, one section of the parsha each week, and that was it. And that's how would they and there was a 6-week rotation for the Musaf and a 3-week rotation for the Mincha. Amrav Yudah Baridi, Amrav Yochanan. Eser Masos Nasa Shechina Mikra'i. We learn from Sukkim that the Shechina, as it went into Galus, had 10 stops. So Kenegdan Galsa Sanhedrin Migamara. And we learn similarly that the Sanhedrin, from through tradition, not from Sukkim, also had 10 Galios. There were 10 stops in the Sanhedrin on its way out after the Chorban Abayis, or around the period of the Chorban Abayis. Eser Masa, and the reason we're mentioning this, Rashi points out, is that we spoke a little bit about Yavne and what they blowing Shofar in Yavne and the Beis Din being in Yavne, so one of the stops of the Sanhedrin was Yavne, so that's why we mentioned all 10 of the stops. Esemasos Nosa Shechina Mikrai. Where do we see from Sukkim that the Shechina had 10 different stops? So Mikaporis Lekruv, it went from the Kaporis to the Kruv, the Bach takes out the next two words, Umikruv Lemiftan, Umimiftan Lechatzar, Umichatzar Lemizbeach, Umimizbeach Legag, Umigag Lechoma, Umichoma Leir, Umeir Lahar, Umehar Lemidbar, Umidbar also Yashvim Mekoma. So those are 10 steps, and it went slowly further away from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shnemar Eilich Hashuv El Mekomi Mekaporis L'Kruv, that's the final in Eilich Hashuv El Mekomi, that it goes ultimately back up to Shemayim, to the Makom, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides. Mekaporis L'Kruv, Umikruv L'Miftan, where do we see the first two steps? Tichsiv, Noati L'Chasham, V'Dibarti Yitchach, Me'ala Kaporis, HaKadosh Baruch says, I speak to you, Me'ala Kaporis, so that's where it started. Uksiv Yerkav Al Kruv Ayaf, that was on the Kruv. Uksiv Kavod El Kei that it goes from the Kruv to the Miftan Abayis, to the threshold of the base of the base of Migdash. Umi Miftan Lechatzer, from the Miftan Lechatzer, Dichsiv, where do we see that in the Pasuk? Vayimale Abayis is Ha'anan, Vachatzer Mala es Noga Kvod Hashem. That the Chatzer was filled with the Noga Kvod Hashem, with the glory of Hashem's light. Umi Chatzel the Mizbeach, Dichsiv, Reis Yes Hashem Nitzav Ala Mizbeach. That he saw Hashem Nitzav Ala Mizbeach. So you see that the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to Amos, was on the Mizbeach. Umi Mizbeach Legag, Dichsiv, Tov L'Sheves Al Pinas Gag, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on the Pinas Gag. Umi Gag L'Choma, Dichsiv, Vine Hashem Nitzav Al Chomas Anach. Mechoma Le'ir, where do we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the city? Then the Shekhinah went from the Choma to the city of Yerushalayim, Dichsiv, Kol Hashem Le'ir Yikarei. Umi Ir Lahar, Dichsiv, Vaya'al Kavod Hashem Me'al Tocha Ir, Vayamod Alahar Asher Mikedem Leir, Umehar Lemidbar, and how do we know that he went from Har Lemidbar, Dichsiv, Tov Sheves Be'eretz Midbar, Umi Midbar also, Vyashma Makomi, Dichsiv El Chashuv El Makomi, like we quoted before. So those are the 10 galuyos, so to speak, of the Shechina. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shisha Chadash min Nisak v'Shechina Lishol b'Midbar, Shemi Yachzur b'Tshuva. In its last stop, the Shechina waited for 6 months, hoping that maybe Klal Yisrael will do Tshuva and will be able to return. But Kivan Shelo Chazru, Amar Tipach Nafshan, Shenem Arveini Risham Techalana, Umanusavad Minham V'Tekvasam Mapach Nefesh. Once he saw that it wasn't happening, so he said, so then they're just going to ride away and they're going to be destroyed. Kenegdan Golsa Sanhedrin Migamara. And we have corresponding to that, we have the fact that the Sanhedrin, we have a tradition that the Sanhedrin had 10 Galios as well. Where did the Sanhedrin go? Milishcha Sagazus Lechanus, Umechanus Liyushalayim, Umiyushalayim Liyavne, and that's why we quote the whole thing is because of Yavne, Umiyavne Liusha, Umeyusha Liyavne, and then they went back from Usha to Yavne, umi Yavne l'Usha, and then from Yavne again back to Usha, umi Usha l'Shaparim, umi Shaparim l'Beis Sha'arim, umi Beis Sha'arim l'Tzipori, umi Tzipori l'Tveria, v'Tveria amuka mikulan, and Tveria is deeper than all of them. Shenemer, as the pasuk says, v'Shafalt me'eretz tidaberi. Rabbi Lazar Omer sheish galuyos. Shenemer, Rabbi Lazar says it was only 6 galuyos of the Sanhedrin, not 10. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Ki heishach yoshvei marom kirya niskava yashpilena yashpila aderetz yagiena adafar." And Rashi points out, "Hashach is 1, yashpilena is 2, yashpila is 3, adaretz is 4, yagiena is 5, adafar is 6." So that's the 6 galuyos of the Sanhedrin. There's a discussion in the Rishonim. So which ones are taken out? Meaning of the list, which ones do we remove from the list? But whatever, it ends up being 6 according to this pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, umishama sidun ligal, and it's from there that they're ultimately going to be redeemed. Shenemar snari miafarkumi shuvi, that it's from the ad offer is the last place, but it's me'afar kumi shuvi, it's from the offer that we're going to get up and we're going to ultimately return. Good, new Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. So Rabbi Shua ben Karcha added another takanas Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, and this one relates to Rosh Hashanah. Va'od zol siskin Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, sha'afilu rosh beizdin b'kal makam, shelo yu eidim holchin el l'makam avad. Wherever the rosh beizdin happens to be, the eidim only have the responsibility to go to the makam avad. They need not go anywhere else other than the makam avad. So Rashi writes that the beizdin is makadish the chodesh without the rosh beizdin. I mean, the rosh beizdin is not there, so they go. The eidim go to the makam avad, and the makadish the chodesh at the makam avad, where the rest of beizdin is, even without the rosh beizdin. Tori Evan just raises the following suffix. What does that mean? Is it that beizdin is completely makadish the chodesh, even without the nasi, without the rosh beizdin, or is it that they're makadish al tanai amlinas sheyirtzah av beizdin amlinas, that when he comes back that he approves of their Kiddush HaChodesh? Where would you get such an impression that they would do such a thing all tonight? So there's a Mishnah in the 7th parak of Eduyos where it says that they were ma'aber the Chodesh al tonight that Rabban Gamliel would approve. And Rabban Gamliel came and he said, Rotzani. So then it turned out that the Shana was mu'uberes. So it could be that the Iker Takaros Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was not to be matriach the Edim to go to the Makom of the Rosh Beisdin, but Enoch Inami, the Rosh Beizdin is still critical. He's the one that has to say Mekudash. And then everyone responds, Mekudash, Mekudash. And without him, it's not going to be Mekudash. But they could do it. Al-Tanai, that he says Mekudash. Al-Tanai, that he later approves of it. According to the first Pshat, that there are Mekadash at Legamri, so there's a Takana that, I mean, so then Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's Takana is a double Takana. Not only not to be Matriach, the Edim to find the Rosh Beizdin, but a Takana that changes the very way that we're Mekadash the Chodesh, where you don't even need the Rosh Beis Din as part of the process. That's also part of the Takana, if you say that way, if you say like the first way. So from the fact that Rashi says that without the Takana, they would have had to have gone to the Rosh Beis Din, because the Ikara Kiddush is Tali in the Rosh Beis Din, said the Turei Evan is Medayek, that it sounds like once the Takana was made, that changed, and the Ikara Kiddush was no longer Tali in the Rosh Beis Din. He no longer needed the Rosh Beis Din. So it sounds like the Takana was that they were allowed to do it without the Rosh Beis Din. Says the Gemara, there was a woman, Da'az Menua Ledina Kameda Amem Rabban Ardai, who was subpoenaed to a Din Torah, or summoned to a Din Torah, in front of a Amem Rabban Ardai. Azla Memer Lamachuza. Memer had gone to Machuza at the time, Velo Azla Basre, and she didn't follow him to Machuza. Chasav Psicha Ilavasa. He wrote a cherim against her that she didn't show up to the Beis Din. So Amar Le Ravashi La Memer. Ravashi said to Memer, how could you be so hard on the woman for not chasing you down to wherever you happen to be? Va'anantanan, the Mishnah says, Afilu Rosh Beis Din Makal Makam Shalayu Edim Halchan El Makam Avad. That no matter where the Rosh Beis Din is, it's not the aide's responsibility to find you. The aide only has to show up to where the normal court is. So Amalei, Amema responded, Hani Milin Ned Sachodesh. That's only when it comes to Sachodesh, because if we make things too difficult on the Edom to be made about the Chodesh, then they're not going to want to come at all in the future. So that's why we say they don't have a responsibility to find the Rosh Beis, and they could just go to the Makom Avad. Aval Hacha, but over here, when it's a monetary case where someone owes somebody else money, Eved Ovel Lishmelva, the guy who lends money should have to be an Eved to the one who borrowed the money from him, and he should have to chase him down. No, that's not the way it should work. So she should have to find me where I am in this case. Now the Rambam, the Rif, and the Shulchan Aruch all leave out this din that if the Rosh Beis Din goes to some other place, that you should chase down the Rosh Beis Din. Meaning l'chora, according to the Maskanas HaGemara, any case other than a Kiddush HaChodesh case, which we don't do anymore anyway, any other case you have to find the Rosh Beis Din. But this is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It's not quoted by the Rambam and the Rif. The Ramah in Chosha Mishpat Simin Yud Aleph writes that if the Beis Din goes the Makom Acher, you have to go after the Beis Din, and if the person doesn't follow where the Beis Din is, Minadino so. Now again, that's not exactly our Gemara either. Our Gemara says you go Baso the Rosh HaBeis Din, even if the Beis Din remains where they started. Not if the whole Beis Din abandoned you, the whole Beis Din skipped town, that you follow where the Beis Din is. You have to follow where the Rosh Beis Din is. So some of the Akronim say that the Halacha is not like a Meimar, the Halacha is like Ravashi, meaning there was a conversation that happened in this Gemara. Ravashi said to Amemar, what are you doing? You say you're going against the Mishnah. They have no responsibility to follow you. So Amemar answered, I think they do. I think our Mishnah is only by Kiddush HaChodesh. But who says that Ravashi agreed to that answer? Ravashi may have still stuck by his guns and thought that Amemar was doing the wrong thing. So it could be that we paskin like Ravashi and not like Amemar. That's how the Yom Trua suggests. And that's why he says none of the Rishonim quote this halacha. In the Shara Mishpat, however, he says that Amem and Ravashi are arguing l'shitasam in Maseches Sanhedrin. What's the machlok? There's a machlok in Sanhedrin, daflam et alf and beis. If we force the nitva to go to the Beis Din HaGadol. A Meimar holds that you can force him to go to the Beis Din HaGadol, and therefore a Meimar wrote a Shamta, because he held that the Rosh Beis Din has a din like the Beis Din HaGadol. The Mumcha Shebekulam, the one who's the greatest expert, has a din like the Beis Din HaGadol. Rav Ashi holds that when there's a Beis Din, a local Beis Din, you can't force a guy to schlep all the way to the Beis Din HaGadol. When you want to sue somebody, you can't schlep him all the way to the Beis Din HaGadol if there's another local Beis Din that's a reliable Beis Din to go to, even though obviously the Beis Din HaGadol is a greater Beis Din. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and Simin Yudal and Choshen Mishpat paskin that you're allowed to force a guy to go to the Beis Din HaGadol. So once they paskin that, it's unnecessary to paskin that they have to follow the Rosh Beis Din like Amemar says, because it's now obvious. It's a machlokes l'shitasam. You don't even need to paskin in this case. So the way the Achronim deal with it is two opposite ways, meaning you have the Yom Trua saying that the reason they don't paskin this in Shulchan Aruch is because we don't hold this way. We hold like Ravashi is chalek, and you don't have to follow the Av Beis Din. But the way the Shar Mishpat in a sense is exactly the opposite, that it's not paskin the Shulchan Aruch because it's so obvious, not because we don't hold of it, but once we paskin that you could be forced to go to the Beis Din HaGadol, so of course you could be forced to follow, to go with where the Rosh Beis Din is. Tanu Rabban, we have a brisa. Ein kohanim rashoy nalos b'sandalei on the duchan. Kohanim are not allowed to do birchas kohanim with their shoes on. V'zu echon mitesha takanos sheiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And this is one of the nine takados of Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. The Gemara Maseches Sota quotes this takana as well and says that the reason is because if yiftach a sandal, if his shoe becomes untied and he bends down to tie his shoe while the other Kohanim are being mevarech, so then it's going to be motzi laz on him. People are going to say that he's a apostle, and that's why he's not able to be mevarech. So that's the Gemara's explanation of why you can't wear shoes for birchas kohanim. So the Torah Evan says, but if you look in the Gemara Sota Lamed Chasam Beis, it says that a kohen that's olu l'duchan l'prak Pesachim, that if a Kohen only goes up Leduchen once in a while, but he doesn't go all the time, so there's no chashash that people are going to say that he's a Ben Grusha, because he does go sometimes. So if a Kohen is the all the time, he goes to Duchen, and once in a while his shoe becomes untied, so he sits down and ties his shoe. So why are we concerned in that case? So he says it must be that the Gemara is saying that in case there are guests, in case there's someone from out of town, that there's going to be a concern. Whereas the issue of a Kohen that's a little prakin, that's a Kohen who doesn't go up at all sometimes, and sometimes he does. The guests, if they're there on a week that he doesn't, on a day that he doesn't go up at all, they'll just assume he's not a Kohen. If they're there on a day that he does go up, they'll assume he is a Kohen. But that concern was speaking klape the people who are there all the time, that you don't have to worry. For people who are there all the time, who see him sometimes go up, they're not going to say that he's a Ben Grusha or a Ben Chalutza. But the real question is that Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in Moruk Tzia that the reason the Kohanim don't wear shoes when they're all Leduchen is probably the reason most of us would have thought initially. Not because their shoes are going to become untied, it's because they're Kohanim. So it's just like in the Beis HaMikdash when they did the Avodah, there was no Chatzitza between their feet and their Ritzpas HaAzara, and the Ritzpas Beis HaMikdash, so the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. So too, when they get up to Duchen, there should be no Chatzitza. So they go up without their shoes on. So the takana, because of a chashash of tivsaka ritzua, is a little bit difficult. Why do you need that chashash anyway? They should probably go up without their shoes on. Okay. Anyway, so there are 9 takanos in total of Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai. Shis tahai pirka. 6 we already learned about in this perek, right? One with about the shoes that we just said. The 5 that we had in the Mishnayos, that they would be tokeya in the makom sheish bo bezdin, that the lulav is taken for 7 days in Medina, even outside of the Mikdash, that the second day of Pesach it's still in Isra of Chadash, Bizman Azeh, that the Mekabal Eidim, Kola Yom, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, they didn't make a cutoff time at Mincha, and that the Eidim only went to the Makom Avad, the Eidim didn't have to go where the Rosh Beis Din is. V'chada de Pirka Kama, and then we had one on Daf Chaf Alfam Beis, that there were Mechal Shabbos for Nisan and for Tishrei, but not for the other months to determine when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. V'idach, and what was the 9th one? We had the sixth over in this parak, the one that we just mentioned now, the one in the first parak, what was the 9th one? So v'idach de Tanya, gershin iskayir bizman hazeh, sarach sheyafrish rova likino. That ger that's miskayir bizman hazeh has to separate a certain amount of money in order to bring his karban, meaning he's going to be chayav a karban. Part of the ger's process is to bring a karban. Bizman hazeh, we don't have the ability to bring a karban, so you should set aside some money to bring his karban. Amar b'shimon elazar kvar nimna ala Rabbi Yochanan ubitla mipnei atakala. One of the takanos of Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai is that this was the 8th one. One of the takanos of Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai was to be mevatel that idea of designating money for the karban. So and the reason for that is obviously because of a concern of a concern that you're going to misuse the money. You're going to have money of Hegdish lying around. That's a bad idea, to have money of Hegdish lying around. Tari Evan raises the question, why was there a takana for a ger to designate money for his karban? Why not for a yoledes to do the same? She's also chayiv to bring a kan, right? Why not for anybody else? Why is it dafka a ger that's supposed to designate money for his karban? So the Tari Evan quotes that in Tosfos Maseches Krisos, it explains that the karban of a zaven yoledes is machshir them tid kachim. A ger is made carbon to be matrim bekal, so it's a different function of what the carbon is supposed to do. So it's more important for his basic Jewishness to have his carbon. The Aruch Liner just wonders about that Tosos, that if we're choshesh that mehiri yibana beis hamikdash and he's not going to be mutter lava bekal because he doesn't have a carbon, so we should be choshesh for the zav also mehiri yibana beis hamikdash, and they're going to need kachim, which is nisr kares, if they don't have their carbon. Meaning the chashash of mehiri yibana beis hamikdash, and if they don't bring their carbon right away, they're going to be in trouble, is a chashash for the zav and the yoledes as well. So that's why the Aruch Liner says, no, by zav and mitzora, the ikur karban is a chatos lekapara. So they weren't misaken to be mafresh money for it, because if the guy dies before the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, so yelchu dam liyam ha-melech, you have to throw the money into the yam ha-melech, because a chatos shemesu ba'alea is lemisa, goes lemisa. But a karban of a ger is a karban ola, which is brought even la'achar misa. So even if he dies before the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, still, this money could still be used for his karbanola, and that's the difference between the two. V'idach, and what's the 9th takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Plukta the Rav Papa from Nachmar Yitzchak. That's Machlokas Rav Papa from Nachmar Yitzchak. Rav Papa Amar Kerem Revai. Rav Nachmar Yitzchak Amar Lashon Shel Zahoris. We'll explain what each one is. Rav Papa Amar Kerem Revai. Rav Papa says Kerem Revai Ditznan Kerem Revai Haya Ol Yushalayim Mahalich Yom Lekol Tzad Vizui Tchuma Eilat Minat Zafan Va'akravs Minat Darum Lud Minat Maravi Yardin Minat Mizrach. That Kerem Revai, the halacha technically is Kerem Revai, grapes that grow in the fourth year of the vine, have a din of Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, the halacha is, you bring to Yerushalayim and you eat it there. If you don't want to schlep it to Yerushalayim, you could exchange it for money, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and spend the money over there in Yerushalayim without bringing the fruit itself. The halacha is, if you are even one step out of Yerushalayim on a Daraisa level, you could exchange it for money and not bring the fruit, just bring the money. But you made a takana that in Kerem Revai, that if you're within a day's journey of Yerushalayim, they have to bring the fruit. That you're not allowed to exchange it for money and just bring the money. In order that the markets of Yerushalayim should be full of beautiful fruits, we don't want everyone just bring money. We want some people bring fruit. So within a one-day journey of Yerushalayim, you bring the fruit to Yerushalayim. Vamru levitem rabba rulam rabbi yochanan matam. What's the reason? In order to decorate the markets of Yerushalayim with peros, it will be beautiful that way. Vitanya, we have a brisa. Kerem Revai Ha'ilo L'Rabbi Eliezer B'Mizrach Lod B'Tzad Kfar Tavi U'Bikesh Rabbi Eliezer L'Afkiru La'aniyim. That Rabbi Eliezer had Kerem Revai in Mizrach Lod and he wanted to be Mafkir Ta'aniyim so that he wouldn't have to schlep it up to Yerushalayim. Amr Lo Talmid of Rebbe Kvar Nimnu Chaveirecha Alavi Tiru. Rebbe, don't worry, you don't have to schlep it to Yerushalayim anyway. Your Chaveirim already got together and were Matir this Takana. They undid this. Man Chaveirecha, who's Chaveirecha? Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. So you see, that's the ninth Takana. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to undo the original takana that anyone within a day's journey of Yerushalayim has to actually bring the fruits. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "No, you don't. Within a day's journey, since Yerushalayim is b'churbanah already, so within a day's journey, you don't have to bring the fruits. You can actually just exchange it for money, and therefore there is no need for him to be mafkir his peros for aniyim." So it sounds like in the end he wasn't mafkir it because they told him he didn't have to be mafkir it. So this is a raya that some of the posts can bring. The Ramah in Hilchos Tzedakah in Yerushalayim. And some Rishon Luchas, the Ramah discusses if a person has in mind to give something to tzedakah, is he now mechuyev? Is that desire of a din of a neder? When you have in mind to give something, so he quotes two dais, whether that's binding, having in mind. So that if you say that it is binding, then what you have to say is that he didn't have in mind with certainty that he's going to give it to tzedakah. Even when he had in mind, he only had in mind misafik that he might be mafkir, that he was discussing the possibility, but not that he actually necessarily was mafkir. The Achronim also point out that Rabbi Eliezer's behavior over here has a lot to do with the fact that Rabbi Eliezer Shamutehu, that Rabbi Eliezer was from the Talmidim of the Beis Shammai, because the Beis Shammai hold Hefker La'aniyim is Hefker, meaning it's Machlokas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, whether if a person can be Mafker something just for aniyim. Rabbi Eliezer was apparently going to rely on that, because otherwise he would have had to have given it to the aniyim. It's not good enough to just be Mafker, because Ashirim could have taken it as well. Being Mafkir La'aniyim is a Shita of Beis Shammai. Also, according to the Shita, the Maaser Sheni is Mamun Gavoa. How could he be Mafkir Mamun Gavoa? But the Beis Shammai holds that Maaser Sheni is Mamun Hedyot. So Reb Lezer's ability to be Mafkir hinges to be Mafkir Lanim hinges on two Shitos of Beis Shammai. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Loshon Shel Zohoris. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says no. The ninth Takana was about something else. It was about a red string. Detanya Brishono Hayu Koshen Loshon Shel Zohoris Ar Pesach Ulam Mibachutz. Originally, they would tie the red string on Yom Kippur by the outside of the Pesach of the Ulam. Hil Bin Ayusmech, and then if it turned white, everyone was happy because they knew that they had a kapara. Lo hil b'nayu atzeven, and if it didn't turn white, they were sad. Hiskinu sheir koshen ol pesach ulam mibifnim. So they decided instead to tie it in the inside of the pesach of the ulam, so everyone would be able to see it as well. V'adayinu mitzitzin v'roin, but you know Jews are yentas; everyone needs to see, so everyone would peek in and would take a look. Say hil b'nayu smechin. So if it turned white, everyone was happy. Lo hil b'nayu atzeven, and if not, everyone would turn sad. Say hiskinu sheir koshen ol chetzi b'sal v'chetzi ben karnav shalsir mishalech. So then they were misakin to tie half of it on a rock and half of it on the horn of the Seir Mishtalech. There's a discussion discussion in the Akronim, which part was the bad part? The fact that they would be happy if it turned white and therefore they were overconfident, or the part that they would be sad if it turned red and therefore they had yeyush, or both? Miri sounds like it's both. And neither of those things is good. You have to be cautiously optimistic. Still be cautious, but still be optimistic. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, my time alone with Rav Papa. Why does Rav Nachman Yitzchak not say Rav Papa's ninth takana? Why does he have his own? If it was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai who made the takana, who undid the takana about the maisa, about the Kerem Revai, so would he be called the Chaverov of Rabbi Lazar? Rabbo Hava, he was the Rebbe of Rabbi Lazar. V'idach, and Rav Papa would respond, Kivin to Talmidim Avulav Arachar Lemeim Relei L'Rabbe Rabcha. Yeah, but it was the Talmidim talking to Rabbi Lazar, so it's inappropriate to say your Rebbe. You don't say your Rebbe to your own Rebbe. Rav Papa, my time alone with Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Why did Rav Papa not want to say like Rav Nachman Yitzchak? Amalach, Yisak, Adai Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Bimei Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Miav Lashon Shal Zahoris. If it was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai who made the takana about where to put the red string, there was no red string in the days of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Vatanya, Chol Shnosa Shal Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Mei Avesim Shana, he only lived 120 years. Mem Shanasa Bipragmatia, the first 40 years he wasn't a rabbi yet. He was involved in business and being a child and toys and things. Mem Shana Lama, the second 40 years he was busy learning. Mem Shana Limed, and then the last 40 years he was teaching, he was writing a position of authority. Vatanya, Mem Shana Kodim Shadech Rabbi, Slo Yelashon Shal Zoris Malbin Elamadim. The last 40 years of the Beis HaMikdash, the Lashon Shal Zahoris never turned white. Utanan Mishachar Rabbi Sis Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was still alive after the Korban Abayis. So it must be that for the last 40 years, the only 40 years that he was limeid, he didn't yet have the ability to make any such takana. V'idach osam arbaim shana delamad, Talmud Yoshev Nerabah, Vavamar Milsav Estabertaime, V'kavi Rabbi Bishmei. And the other opinion would say, no, he could have made the takana as a Talmud. He was a Talmud Yoshev Nerabo. He raised his hand in class and he said an idea, and the Rebbe said, great idea, let's institute that. So it was not yet during the years that he was limeid, but he still was able to have an impact. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow. All right.